Christian Crusaders welcomes you to our weekly radio ministry. The Reverend Dr. Homer Larson will be conducting our service today. We invite you to tune in to this radio station at this time every Sunday and worship with us. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
We hear a great deal about love in our day. What does it really mean to love one another? We open our service in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord Jesus, today we center our thoughts on your love for us, but also the response of our love for you and for our fellow men. Help us, O Lord, to understand what it really means in all reality to love one another. All this we ask in Christ's name. Amen. Hear the word of God as it is recorded in the 12th chapter of the Gospel of St. Mark, beginning with verse 28. One of the teachers of the law came and heard them debating. Noticing that Jesus had given them a good answer, he asked him, "Of all the commandments, which is the most important?" "The most important one," answered Jesus, "is this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this: Love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these." Here ends the reading of God's holy word.
God is deliver, let's make a lesson. God is deliver, er liebt auch mich.
Drum sag ich noch einmal, Gott ist deliver, Gott ist deliver, er liebt auch mich.
Ich lag in Banden der schnellen Sünder, ich lag in Banden und konnte nicht los. Drum sag ich noch einmal, Gott ist dir lieber, Gott ist dir lieber, er liebt auch mich.
Er sandte Jesum, den treuen Heiland, er sandte Jesum und macht mich los.
Drum sag ich noch einmal, Gott ist dir lieber, Gott ist dir lieber, er liebt auch mich.
God so loved us, he sent the Savior. For God so loved us and loves me too. Love so unending, I'll sing thy praises. God loves his children, loves even me. He bade me welcome, O word of mercy. He bade me welcome, O voice divine. Love so unending, I'll sing thy praises. God loves his children, loves even me.
Unlike other religions, the Christian faith centers its emphasis in God's love for us, and his admonition that we should love him and one another. Love, love, love. That was a basic teaching in the New Testament church. As we continue our evaluation of today's church in relationship to the teachings of the New Testament church, does love for God and our world have as strong an accent among Christians as once it did? I think we need to go back and take a look in the New Testament to the emphasis that is found on love. And we begin with the teachings of our Lord Jesus Christ. He begins with that great passage of Scripture that is known to our entire world, I believe, recorded in the 3rd chapter of John, verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. Notice, friend, God loved us. That's what he wanted to say. He created us. We walked away from him. And he sent into this world his only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, through his suffering and death at the cross of Calvary, paid the price for our sins. And if we would but trust in him, then our sins can be forgiven, and we are restored into fellowship with him forever. The giving of his Son, that's love. Love not only spoken, but love shown in action. Here's another one. It was a portion of Scripture that I read for you at the beginning of the program. Now, there was a person who came to Jesus one day and said to him, Lord, what is the greatest of the commandments? And you recall that answer so very well. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. All of the Ten Commandments that had come to the people of Israel by God through Moses could be summarized in those words. Because you have been redeemed by Jesus Christ, now you love God and you love your fellow men, even as you love yourself. Another passage of Scripture that is very, very clear as it is presented to us in the Word of God is found in the 5th chapter of Matthew, and here our Lord Jesus is speaking in his famous Sermon on the Mount. You have heard that it was said that you are to love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, you love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. That is what the Lord Jesus is telling those of us who trust in him to do. You love your enemies, those who might have done harm to you, those who would persecute you, love them. In the 15th chapter of the Gospel of St. Luke, there is that very famous parable known by so many, the parable of the prodigal son. And rather than to read it, let me just summarize it again. There was a father who had two sons, and the younger of them said, I want my inheritance, father. And after some argument with his father, he got the money and he went. He spent it in unrighteous living. And one day, in his destitute state, he decided that he was going to return to his father. He would come with a confession on his lips. "Father, I am no longer worthy to be called your son, but may I come and be your servant." And the father, when he saw the son coming, ran out and put the coat on him and said, "Let us eat, drink, and be merry. For my son who was dead is alive. My son who was lost has been found." In other words, what our Lord Jesus Christ is talking about here is that you love even the rebel. I imagine that in all of our families, there are those whom we might call the rebel. They have just a little bit different nature probably than some of the others, and they're just a little bit harder to love because of some of their behavior. The Lord doesn't say, just love the good people. Don't love just those who are like you. But you rather go out and love that rebellious person. That was Jesus. Again and again, he talked about this whole matter of loving. Loving, loving, as you have been loved. Now you go on to the writers of the epistles and you hear the same thing. Who of us have not read 1 Corinthians 13? Paul was not able to define love, but rather he described it. And he said, among other things, if you love, if you say, "I love you," if a wife says to her husband, or a husband says to the wife, "I love you," in that he or she is saying, "I will be patient with you. I will be kind to you. I will not be envious of you. I'll not be proud. I'll not be rude. I'll not be self-seeking. I'll not be easily angered. My love for you will never fail." That was the kind of a love that God showed to us. And now St. Paul, in this inspired writing, goes on to say, and there's no portion of Scripture that seems to equal it except those words of our Lord. That's what love is. So if you really want to know what love is, and it does not seem possible to describe it, but you can define it, then go to 1 Corinthians 13. For you see, the Christian faith always centered its great emphasis in love. Not like the other religions that had so often a great deal of fear in it. But here it is, love, love, love. Now, here was Peter, and he was kind of a rebel himself in many ways. I often think of Peter, maybe my characterization of him is not right, but one who maybe had to work at loving, unlike John, his colleague. But Peter says, "Love one another deeply from the heart." In other words, that apostle is trying to tell us there is to be no superficiality in love. You can't just say that you love somebody and then not show it. No superficiality, and it must come deeply from the heart. It must be the reflection of your emotion. It must be the innermost part of your being that is talking in action. Love. That was a teaching of the New Testament church. Here's another one from James. He's a practical person. If you really keep the royal love found in Scripture, that is what you will do. You will love your neighbor as yourself. You do right if you do that. But if you show any favoritism, then you sin. Love has to be genuine. It has again got to be free from all superficiality. In other words, if there's prejudice in your life to the person and you ignore the other one, then realize that there is something wrong with your love. And then finally, that disciple who is often called the apostle of love, who said to us, St. John, in the 3rd chapter, verse 18 of his little letter, "Let us not love with words or tongues, but let us love in action." You see, in every one of these writings on love, they are warning the people of that New Testament church that love is not simply verbal, but love now then calls us to action. We are to witness first verbally, but it is to be backed up with action that just fills itself with love. And finally, John climaxes his writing in 1 John 4:19 when he says, "You love because he first loved you." Isn't that true? Until we have been immersed in God's love for us, until we have experienced that I am really loved by him, we cannot love in the biblical sense of the word. There cannot be real, genuine love until we have been loved genuinely by our Father. Now, those are some of the teachings of the New Testament church. We can ask ourselves the question, did the New Testament church practice this love? You know, it's one thing to be taught what to do, but it's quite another thing to do it. Well, I will not take the time to read all of these passages, but I'll give them to you. Here are a few examples. In the 8th chapter of 2 Corinthians, Paul is talking to the people about giving of their money for people who are poor, who are down in Jerusalem. Now, Jerusalem was a mother church, and they were really poverty-stricken. Paul says to them in Corinth, "Would you be willing to give out of love to these poor people who are your brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus?" And then he goes on to say, you know, the churches in Macedonia, they are a good example. They loved so much, they didn't have very much either, but they gave even beyond what they really were able to do. So you see, here is an example of the church in Macedonia seeking out in action to show their love for the brethren who are down in Jerusalem suffering from starvation. Here's another one. It's in Acts, the 7th chapter, verse 60. The Christians were being persecuted, and that man of God by the name of Stephen was being stoned to death. Just before he breathed his last breath, he uttered a prayer to his Father in heaven. And this is what he said, "Lord, do not hold this sin against them." That's what you see in this whole matter of loving your enemies. It's love in action. In other words, Stephen just didn't say, "I love all of you people. I don't like what you did. But if you're going to really harm the church, then I hope God puts you in your place." No. No, rather he said as he was dying, "O Lord, do not hold this sin against them." In the sixth chapter of Acts, we hear that they appointed deacons, 7 deacons. And a part of their duty was to take care of the poor. There were some complaints that not everything was being done justly in the dispersing of the food to the poor. So these men were charged with seeing to it that love was their motivating factor, and there was to be no prejudice there at all, but rather all were to be treated equally. That is love, caring for those who do not have. So we can say that the early church had some strong teachings, both from Jesus and from the teachers, the disciples, and we can say that at least in part, that early church was practicing love. Was it the perfect church? No, it wasn't. And the deeper that I get into our studies on a comparison of our church to the New Testament church, I can see that in many ways they suffered from some of the same difficulties that we do today. But now let me ask you about today's church in the light of the New Testament teachings and some of the practices that we see among those who trusted in Jesus Christ there. Now, it is very difficult to draw a comparison here because we only have the book of Acts and a bit of history regarding that early church. But we know that there was a lot of good things done. Now, what about our own? I believe it is true to say that there are many great things that are being done out of love for Jesus Christ in the church today. Comparatively speaking, I think that here probably we are closer to the New Testament teachings in the New Testament church than we are to other areas, and we'll talk about that in just a moment. We have gone into the hospitals, and we have ministered. Not only that, have we gone into them, the church, those who were believers in Christ Jesus, built the hospitals. We have a large prison ministry going in to talk to men and women who are incarcerated. That's love. Jesus said that we were to go to those who are in prison because you want them to know that God loves them too. In our day, we have built a tremendous number of homes for the aged, and I am very, very thankful for all of those good things that have happened in some of these homes. We have also seen to it that those who are less fortunate than we had many opportunities that otherwise they would not have had, opportunities to start over again. I think of the ministry among the unmarried mother, especially years ago before we had all this abominable abortion. There were many young people who came impregnated and not knowing what to do. It was a church. For example, in our own Lutheran social services and in other denominations, they were equal. Taking these young people and loving them and telling them that God will forgive you. Now let's get life going again. Yeah, the church has done a lot of good things, and I'm here today to say that we cannot let Satan put out the fire and say that you have done nothing. But I want to hurry on to say that while the church has done so many wonderful things out of love for Christ, corporately, I wonder if sometimes we are not lacking in loving people on an individual basis. I mean from one person to another. You see, I can give a little bit of money, and then my church can go out and love these people. But am I willing to love myself? Am I willing to love that person who has really hurt me? How, for example, can a parent say, I'll have nothing to do with a child? Or a child say, I'll have nothing to do with a parent? How can people who are of the same relationship go for years and not talk to one another? That's not love. That's hatred. That's contrary to what the New Testament taught, and certainly contrary to what it practiced. It's that individual love, the sensitivity to reach out to those who are really hurting. How easy it is for us to have our own agendas built around what we're going to do and to forget really the hurts of those who are sitting there in front of us. One person who had been severely afflicted told me one day when I was visiting with her, I love to have my friends come, but you know, I suffer jealousy. And sometimes I am quite jealous that I have to sit here while they can do so many things themselves. But when they come and they're so insensitive to my hurts that they tell about this and that and what's happening in their lives, I know I should be interested. But I would be less than honest that if I didn't tell you. Sometimes I feel like screaming and say, get out of here. I don't need to hear any more of that. See, it's a lack of sensitivity for those who are hurting, the lonely. Can we let them go for a long time and never do anything for them, a visit of any kind? Well, what about this loving the brethren, loving the Lord? As I said before, I believe that this is one of the ministries of the church where we would rate higher than in other ministries. Certainly, it seems that we can point out that the church has been much stronger in reaching out and touching the needs of people than it has telling them the story of Christ. Thank God, and pray that daily we will experience His love for us, and that we will love Him and those who are round about us, not forgetting to tell them about the Savior. Amen. Lord Jesus, we have been blessed by your love. Grant that we may be a blessing to others, as in your name we love them, by telling them of the Savior and then showing his love for them through our actions. This we ask in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio ministry of the Christian Crusaders. As a nonprofit ministry, we depend on your financial support to buy airtime on stations throughout the United States. We thank you for your diligent prayers and generous gifts. October is calendar month for Christian Crusaders. We would like to send you a gift of a free year 2001 calendar. This nature calendar features beautiful four-color portraits of spectacular scenes in the United States with a different Bible verse for each month. To receive your free calendar, just call our toll-free number, 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. And call Monday through Friday between 8 a.m. and 5 p.m. Central Time. You can leave a message at any time. We will need your name, mailing address, and the stations where you hear Christian Crusaders. Cassette tapes or printed copies of today's sermon are available free of charge. However, a gift of $2.50 will help cover the mailing and production costs. Our mailing address is Christian Crusaders, Post Office Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. Once more, our toll-free phone number is 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. In the Cedar Falls, Waterloo, Iowa area, dial 266-7589. We invite you to visit our website at christiancrusaders.org. That's Christian Crusaders, all one word, .org. Conducting our service today was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson, Pastor Emeritus of Nazareth Lutheran Church, Cedar Falls, Iowa, and radio pastor of Christian Crusaders for the past 38 years.